Blog Talk Radio.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome to Thursday. It's Reese on the radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. 2 minutes after the hour on this Therapy Thursday, May the 10th, 2012. Anybody in the mood for some gay bashing? Just want to know. Just want to know if anybody's in the mood for some gay bashing. Just let me know. Yeah, of course it's crude. Because, of course, that's what the news media is interested in today. They're interested in gay bashing of all sorts. Even 50-year-old gay bashing. What's sad about this is that in order to protect the President of the United States, Barack Obama, it's been talked about, we've talked about it here, that the media is going to carry water for the president. And they will, and they've decided to. Today it was released in the Washington Post that some 50 years ago, Mitt Romney is alleged to have beat up a boy who dressed funny, had long hair, may have acted feminine, according to the story. The Washington Post went back to when Mitt Romney was 18 years old and in high school and found out that he and his frat boys, you know, the elitist, they ran out and grabbed a little skinny boy with the long hair and held him down and cut his hair with a pair of scissors and bullied him and treated him bad. And it could be that they treated him that way because they thought he was gay. That Mitt Romney didn't like homosexuals and he wanted them to pay with short haircuts. Mitt Romney said, "Hey, look here, queer boy. We don't like your hairdo. Let me play Sweeney Todd on you. And cut those locks and give you a respectable haircut," according to the Washington Post.
That's not what they said.
It's not what they said. I'm paraphrasing here. People know that I'm paraphrasing. They know that I'm paraphrasing. If you can't hear that it is tongue firmly placed in cheek when I'm expressing this, something's wrong with you.
No, but I also know that you're painting it out to be something that it's not,
well,
rather than what it actually
matter.
Is.
The point of the matter is that we're talking about 1964.
It still happened.
Okay, you know, no. JC, you're wrong. It did not happen.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't.
But the three guys that he was with state that it did. They gave the interview.
That's interesting, because I'm reading a report right now from our good friends at the Daily Caller.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something that I would always do. You always pay attention to who it is that you're getting your story from in a 50-year-old story. One of the sources in this story is a guy by the name of Stu White. Let me read the quote from the Daily Caller today. A question emerges in reading the Washington Post piece on Mitt Romney today. How can Romney's old pal, Stu White, tell the Washington Post that he has, quote, long been bothered by the Lauber incident? And Lauber is supposed to be the young man who got his hair cut, the one who was suspiciously or ambiguously gay. How can he say that this has long bothered him and then later admit to ABC News that he was not present for the prank? And I just watched the ABC News story. He said, quote, was not aware of it until this year when he was contacted by the Washington Post. Now, what's the story? Because if Stu White is in the Washington Post story that was released today, and he clearly states that this has long haunted him, why tell another news organization that he wasn't there? And he spoke to David Muir, who aired the piece tonight on World News Tonight with Diane Sawyer. The Washington Post story reports, I've always enjoyed his pranks, said Stu White, a popular friend of Romney's, who went on to a career as a public school teacher and has long been bothered by the Lauber incident. But ABC News says White was not present for the prank, in which Romney is said to have forcibly cut a student's hair and was not aware of it until this year when he was contacted by the Washington Post. What are we to make of it? So nobody's going to remember somebody doing this some 50 years ago. And isn't it a curious thing that the story would have come out the day after Barack Obama says that he supports gay marriage and the Washington Post has an interest as painting Mitt Romney as a homophobe? And would suggest that if he were alive today, it would have been considered a hate crime? That's the part that bothers me the most about this. It's like, damn, you know, hold water for the president. Write glowing stories about him. But when you start working as a campaigner for the president of the United States and you find horrible stories about Mitt Romney from 50 years ago and try to attach it to the template or the story of the day, that's where you become completely disingenuous. That's when it's become a farce. And they should be ashamed of themselves. Anybody want to go 30 years back into Barack Obama's history? Why are there no college transcripts available? Why haven't we met any Barack Obama's ex-girlfriends? Why haven't we met these white women? We can go back to when Mitt Romney was 18 years old in the 60s. In the 60s! But we can't get anything from the mid-80s to early 90s for Barack Obama? We haven't been able to get anything on Barack Obama any further than 1996. Except for what he writes in his own book. Oh, and speaking of his own book. Why is anybody reporting what he wrote in his own book? Where he writes, quote, I will confess to you that I was kind of a goof-off in high school, as my mom reminded me. I went to high school in Hawaii. There was a lot of opportunity to goof off because the weather was really good at the time. You know, I made some bad decisions, you know, got into drinking and experimenting with drugs. There was a whole stretch of time when I didn't apply myself. It wasn't until I got out of high school, when I went to college, that I started to realize, man, I wasted a lot of time. What about the story in his book where... Oh, sorry, not the story in his book. I apologize. Let me go so further. New York Times did an article about... what is this? Oh, no, sorry. There's no story about Barack Obama's classmates. We know nothing about Barack Obama's classmates, right? We know anybody he went to school with? Nobody. Any stories about that? No. Obama's been able to dictate everything about it. And the only way we get any insight into that is by reading two books, Dreams of My Father and Audacity of Hope. That's the only insight we get through his past. He gets to tell us what we get to know. But Mitt Romney? Oh, yeah, let's send a whole bunch of Washington Post reporters out there to go to dig up a story about some ambiguously gay kid in 1965. No one even wanted to talk about Barack Obama's rampant drug use. Rampant. He didn't just experiment with drugs. He was doing drugs all the time. There's a photo of Barack Obama with a cigarette in his hand and some Easy Rider.
He was hood.
What do you mean he was hood?
Easy Rider.
Whatever. But he still, I mean, come on.
That was the rapper choice back in the day.
You know what I find interesting? Everybody says, you know, that George W. Bush, he was a cokehead. And Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's a drug addict. He's on Percocet. Barack Obama used to sniff cocaine. But you know, he was a kid, yo. Double standard?
Dude, you just went ape crap about a week ago and Barack Obama's eating dog at age 7. And they can't bring up anything about Romney when he was 19?
No, I'm not suggesting that. The only reason why, and you know why, JC, I'll say it again. The only reason why is because David Axelrod was putting himself in a position where somebody in a glass house was throwing stones. He put that picture out there of Barack Obama inside the limousine with Bo the dog. By the way, you ever notice that the dog's name is Bo? B-O?
No.
They named the dog Bo, B-O, Barack Obama. You never noticed that?
No.
Come on, dude. They named the dog Bo, Barack Obama.
Maybe they raised him from a pup to lunch.
Whatever. But the point is that they showed that picture. David Axelrod, chief political advisor for the Obama campaign, puts a picture out on Twitter saying how a loving dog owner travels with his dog. And then somebody from the Romney campaign goes, wow, that's kind of interesting coming from a guy who ate dog. And so the only reason why we bash him is because it would have never been a conversation had they not tried to capitalize on it and try to sling mud. And it was David Axelrod who looks like a moron. It blew up in his face. That's why I ripped them apart for it.
And it seemed kind of a lighthearted joke to begin with. Barack did admit that he ate the dog. And...
That's right. It came out of his own mouth. But the question is, he says... He was introduced to other kinds of meat. He said he had dog. I got to ask you a question. That doesn't sound like it was one time. Where does he suggest he only ate it one time? He said he was introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced to okra, fried okra. I've had it about 3 times in my life.
I hate okra.
Who doesn't? Fried okra is good, though.
No.
That's what I'm saying is the bottom line is it's literally a smear campaign. I mean, the question is, don't you expect the press to do this in a fair and impartial manner? Don't you expect the press to do that? We've got no stories. Name one person.
Dude, we don't live in a fair and impartial world.
The press is supposed to be.
But we don't live in a fair and impartial world.
That's fine that we don't live in one, but the obligation of the press is to do that. Now, guys like me and you and Mary and James and even Derek, you know, we're a show that gives political opinion. And our leaning show, we wear it on our sleeve. But as journalists, if you were doing
except,
it...
I kind of volley, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I understand it. But, you know, you as a journalist, you print the news. And the news is this is a story that you tell. And you tell the story. You don't throw in any opinion, or you don't slant it any particular way. The bottom line was that this story is 50 years old. We've known about Mitt Romney. The guy was a governor, for crying out loud, of Massachusetts. This story never came out. It was never, ever relevant. Anybody could have brought this up at any time, but they didn't. And it's grasping at straws. Really? The whole point of this, of talking about Mitt Romney was, I mean, think about it. Romney's out there stumping for the economy, right? He's talking about the economy. It's the economy. It's the economy. It's the economy. Right? So why don't you go find something about what Mitt Romney did as far as the economy in Massachusetts? Why don't you find out something about this? You know, Mitt Romney went on the campaign trail and said that he wants fiscal responsibility for such and such and such. But this is what he did back in 2000 when he was, that's all you do. That's all you have to do. But instead you go, hey, you know, remember when Barack Obama said he loved the gays? Turns out Mitt Romney doesn't. I mean, why is this relevant?
Good timing, though.
No, it wasn't. No. It wasn't even timing. This isn't timing. How can you even call it timing? This was an effort. An effort was made to change the narrative. The Washington Post should be talking about one thing when it comes to presidential candidates. What the guy who's incumbent has done to the economy, if it's good or bad, and what the other guy is proposing, and let the reader decide. That's it. And they're not doing that. And it's a disgusting state of the press today. You know, are we supposed to bring up the fact that, you know, the girl who's on, I can't remember her name now, but the girl who's on that show, The Five, on Fox News, she said something interesting. I mean, I can make a case. So she said, I can make a case for Barack Obama not liking women. There's a story that he told about him pushing down a little girl because somebody said that she was his girlfriend. He pushed her down and he bullied her because somebody was saying, because the two of them were playing and she fell on top of him and people started chanting, what was her name? Coretta. Yeah, Coretta's got a boyfriend. And he pushed her down because he was embarrassed. And then how he wouldn't give his grandmother a hip if he had to do it all over again because she would have died a year later. You know, they can make a case for he's got a problem with women. He's got women issues. You know, white woman says, I love you. He tells her, thank you. He's got women issues. Can we make, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if we were to grasp at straws, couldn't we? We're grasping at what some irresponsible kid did in high school 50 years ago. Has no one seen Animal House? Has no one seen Porky's? Has no one seen Meatballs? I remember when kids used to take their friend and tie him to the bed and carry the bed outside of the camp and put it out on the road so the kids could wake up in the woods in the morning. Because they got that from the movie Meatballs with Bill Murray and Chris McPeace. God rest his soul. Well, he's not dead, but his career is. But, nonetheless, the bottom line is that that's what kids did. And there's no proof that the guy's gay. And you want to know why there's no proof that the guy's gay?
He's dead.
Because he's dead. So they don't even bother to find out from that guy's friend and family whether or not he was a homosexual.
Well, why go out him?
wouldn't that be the point to prove that Mitt Romney is a gay basher is to go and find out his family. He's dead now. It's not going to embarrass him.
No, you set forth a narrative and let the public run with it.
Exactly. That was the whole point, is to set forth the narrative. You know who the kid is. You know everything about him. You've gone to Mitt Romney's friends, who clearly have remembered the story, according to you. You go to the guy's family and say, hey, we hear Mitt Romney, we're bullying this guy because he had long hair and he bleached his hair blonde. Hey, was he a homosexual? And you find out that he was gay, and then you go, he was gay. And Mitt Romney sought that out, and then, you know, that's what you do. But you didn't. They got no information that was at least concrete. And again, I'll say it again. I don't like Mitt Romney. But I don't like Obama more. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you had a choice of shooting Hitler or Idi Amin, who would you shoot?
I'd line them one in front of the other.
Who'd be in front?
Hitler.
No. So somebody's got to catch the bullet first.
Well, Idi Amin's kind of thick, and I don't think it would go through.
I don't want to get into a Hank Williams Jr. debate here. I'm not suggesting that Obama is a Hitler or an Idi Amin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about if you two people you just vehemently don't like. You know both people are cruel and vicious killers. I'm not suggesting that our candidates are killers, but I'm just putting it in the most erroneous way. So the bottom line is, what do you do? So Mitt Romney, I'm sorry, what I don't like about Mitt Romney has to do with, I mean, there are other things about him that I don't particularly like. You know, I kind of look at him as this, you know, this schoolboy jock, you know, nothing touches him, he's very plain and vanilla. He's very superficial, and I don't like about him. He's not the kind of guy I'd hang out with, not like many would. But if I met him, he'd probably be a nice guy. I could probably say this. No, it'll never happen for me. I don't. I vehemently don't. I don't like him. I don't know what it's like when he bullshit. I don't like him in general. One narcissist to another. I don't like him. But that being said, I'm only going to deal with the facts. So like I said, let's talk about Barack Obama's cocaine use. Is that okay with you? Or is it only okay because when you're black and liberal? Isn't that the case? You can't be George W. Bush and sniff a little cocaine, allegedly, because there's no proof to substantiate it at all. It's just innuendo. Barack Obama says it's an old book. Yes, sniff coke. They even asked him one time, hey, when you smoke marijuana, did you inhale? He responded, of course I did, plenty of times. Isn't that the point? And they cheered him.
It only shows that he's human, but you know, we're always told when we're kids. And every kid at one point in time had our aspirations of wanting to be the president of the United States.
But
and you told everything you do now is going to follow you.
But wait a minute.
Even all the way into the White House.
Exactly. But see, what we should be telling people is that everything you do is going to follow. If you want to be president of the United States, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to walk the straight line. But when you got presidents who are sitting up there talking about things that, you know, that they know they shouldn't have done, he's making it socially acceptable for people to do that. Hey, I'll give you a great debate before we go to a break. I want to give you a perfect example. When Bill Clinton made the argument about oral sex with Monica Lewinsky and said that it wasn't sex, the CDC reported that oral copulation, if you will, skyrocketed amongst teens. Because if the president doesn't describe it, if it says that it's not sex, that's the way America viewed it. The argument became, the part of the lexicon was, well, is it sex? It's not the traditional intercourse, so I guess it's not. so young guys were convincing girls, hey, it's not really sex. And girls were, you know, they were okay with it.
In really? Other,
girls were like, ah, really? Yeah. And you can convince them, hey, come on, even the president said it's not real sex.
We could have that sex and you can keep your virginity.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, it's a joke, but, you know, this is just a classic case. It's you know, it goes on all the time. Anyway, when we get back, of course, I knew this was going to happen. The black clergy, they've come forward.
What happened?
Black clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Come forward. You knew they would. You knew they would. CNN has been talking to all of these black clergymen to find out whether or not they're okay with Barack Obama's stance on gay marriage and whether or not it's going to affect them in the polls. I'm going to play two sound bites for you. One is a little ambiguous. One's hard to read. But the other one, oh, Obama's going to have a problem with this election. We'll be back. Just a little bit.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
there's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
On the radio, 32 minutes after the hour, May the 10th, 2012. Sorry about that. A interesting story that, I don't know exactly how do I put this. An interesting story coming out of the black community behind the Barack Obama announcement on gay marriage. And it was whether or not African Americans were going to withdraw their support for Barack Obama because of his stance on gay marriage. And as I stated yesterday, it would affect them. Definitely. There are some people out there, especially those in the clergy, who are not going to know how to respond. And it's a big church day coming up, Mother's Day. It's a big church day, especially in the black community. Mama going to service. Yes, she will. And the pastor, of course, in his sermon, may talk about gay marriage. He's going to have to. He's going to have to approach it. Now, I suspect that most in black churches will say things like, we support the president, we pray for him, we hope the best for him, he is our future, whatever. Yeah. But Barack Obama, he's got to do what he's got to do. And they'll tell all that crap about what he has to do and all that other stuff. And some of them will just go, look, guy, I'm not with this. They'll find a way to spin it. And they'll say something stupid like, I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm just saying we need to have to think about what we're going to do this election. Okay, whatever. It'll be vague. But two pastors were on, spoke to members of CNN, and I'll play them for you. One was on Tom Joyner's show.
I hate that guy.
Oh, you and me both. You and me both. He was speaking to Roland Martin of CNN. And his name is Pastor Jamal Bryan. And on Tom Joyner's show, he was asked, you know, what is the black clergy going to do? He said this.
I think that it's going to be an incalculable amount of damage. Someday is going to be a great divide across the country in black churches because black pastors are really confused as to where to stand. Because for the last 4 years, we've prayed, covered, and pushed the president's agenda. And now there's a great conflict. Roland, most African-American denominations have a written policy against same-sex marriages and same-sex unions. And so now we're going to have to really recalibrate how do we move forward with the religious right. And now he's in their eyebrows saying, I told you so. And so it's going to make us finally confront the issue without gay bashing, without homophobia, to say that this is something that's got to be dealt with. And the black church is coming in mass on Mother's Day Sunday to hear where their pastors are and how the black church was responding.
So pretty much he's saying how the black church is going to respond. Now, here is a man that he says that the black churches have prayed for and supported and pushed his message through their churches. By the way, churches are not supposed to do that. You do know that. Churches are not supposed to push the president's agenda. But of course they do, you know, because they're black. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to promote the tenets of your faith. That's it. There's no political leanings. This is what the separation of church and state is. It's just like, look, if you are a company like Media Matters for America right now, and the National Public Radio, right? These guys get government grants, just like the church gets, you know, they get taxed. They don't pay a tax. So what do? You stay out of politics. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to be a part of any particular group. Not Democrat, not Republican. You just push the tenets of your faith. You don't get involved in politics. And if you receive government funding like Media Matters for America and NPR, you are not supposed to push the narrative of any particular leaning, any particular political leaning. And here it is, a black pastor saying, look, we promoted his agenda in church. We'd rally support for him. So that aside, here it is, they've got a conflict. The president that they've been promoting in their church is now going against everything that they believe in. African-American community, I can't say overwhelmingly. The polls say it's 55% to 45%, as I stated yesterday. That's 21.45 million African-Americans. Or against same-sex marriage and same-sex union. This is not something that is a part of their faith. They ain't down. And so now they're saying, what are we going to do now? Well, the only thing you're supposed to do, you teach your faith and you keep it moving. You weren't supposed to get involved in that in the first place, but you know they're going to. I would suggest just avoid it. Just shut up. But if somebody brings it up, something's bound to happen. And what's bound to happen is they're not going to show up at the polls. We know they're not going to vote for Mitt Romney. Don't you get it? African Americans are only going to vote Democrat anyway. And if it doesn't suit that purpose to vote Democrat, they just don't vote. It's not like black people walk to the polls and they go, well, who am I going to choose? Who best suits my values? That's D or nothing. D for down. Fool, because I get down. I get down for mine. The Democrats are down for me. You down for the struggle. No, Barack Obama like to get down. I like to get down, too. Like to listen to some heavy D. Some DMX. Some Dr. Dre.
Sniff a little cocaine.
Do some drugs, yes. We do what it do. Vote for D. But that's what they're going to do. And so they don't appreciate where it is that he's coming from on gay marriage. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm not just going to go. It's nice. What is it? November 6th, what is it? 65 degrees? I'm not going. They're just not going to show up. Now, CNN asked another black pastor about this. I want you to listen to what it says. This couldn't be any more, I don't know. For me, I get what he's saying. But he doesn't give a direct answer. I wish he would have. But this is an interview that took place. And I'll let you listen for a second.
President Obama's public support of gay marriage could cause some in the African-American community to lose faith in him. While some black clergy support same-sex marriage as a civil right, others say they're disappointed with the president's decision. One of them is Reverend Ralph Martino. He is pastor of First Church of Christ Holiness in Washington, D.C., and he's joining us live. Thank you for being here with us. First of all, what will you tell your congregation this Sunday?
To continue to believe and to stand on the promises of God's word, to trust him, and to stay focused completely and solely upon him. We're biblically based, and we're going to stand on the word because the word is our foundation. We will stay anchored to the rock, the Bible, Jesus, and we will stay geared to the times so that we can be positioned to love and to help individuals that find themselves in the struggle.
Will you encourage those in your congregation to support, to vote for President Obama this go-round?
We will encourage those in our congregation to pray for him and to pray for the leaders as we do anyway. We pray over 32,000 minutes a week. We lift up leadership, and we will pray fervently for him and even for Mitt Romney, because we want to come to the balance of the truth, and we need a leader in place. And a godly leader, someone that will be biblically based and someone that will operate according to principles and doctrines that we can follow.
Now, what does that say to you? They're even praying for Mitt Romney, and we will pray for those who follow our faith. Rawr. Sounds interesting to me. Didn't sound like he was throwing his support one way or the other. We will pray for the president as we will also pray for Mitt Romney and whoever follows our faith. Oh, man. I don't even know how to take that. How do I take it? It bothers me. Probably wonder what the hell am I doing.
That was my question.
Oh, come on.
Crap.
It's the village people, man. It's appropriate. I'm sorry. I just had to play it. The people out there know what it is that I'm talking about. They know why I'm playing the Village People. They've won.
They've won. Okay.
The Village People won. So I'll ask you, JC, do you think black people are going to just not show up? If you were to put this on a scale of 1 to 10, you know what, I'll go better. Scale of 1 to 5, what do you think the impact is going to be as far as blacks not showing up to the poll? 5 being a great amount, of course, like all of them are not going to show up, and 1 being the least amount. Like the least amount won't show.
It depends on how much trash or mud he could sling at the Republican Party, thus revealing things that he tried to implement that they shot down that would have directly benefited black folks. And I'm sure he could find something. And how much celebrity he can get behind him to rally the troops.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't see this story. This story got a lot of attention, as it did. So the average person got wind of Barack Obama supported gay marriage. I know enough people got wind of that. I don't think that people really vote on this kind of social issue in the black community. I do believe that their loyalty to Barack Obama because of his skin color weighs way larger than his social beliefs.
Right.
I believe that in the black community, literally on an issue like this, look, if they can deal with the guy being a weed-smoking, coke-sniffing drinker, dated white girls in college, you know, and they could look at him and like him over a southern black from Atlanta, from Georgia, son of a chauffeur, a son of a maid, Herman Tate, and completely throw him away. Like, if there's anybody, you want to really, really look at, like, authentically black, as a lot of these Negroes like to use. You had Herman Cain, who literally came from nothing, pulled himself by the bootstraps, and he's from the segregated South. And they washed him away like nothing. And here's Barack Obama, part white, part black, father from Kenya. And they look at Barack Obama and they like him more. So it's obvious that this support is blinded. It's a horse blinder support of Barack Obama. So I don't think, Van Jones said on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, Barack Obama came out and said he was gay, black people would still support it. They don't care. They've got no, and I'm sorry, I know this is going to be taken in a bad way, but it's not my fault. You've shown it in the polls. You've got no principle, black people. You've got none, no principle when it comes to who you vote for. You got none. It means nothing to you.
The thing is, they've never had any.
Well,
they've never been educated. They've never been educated on how to vote.
How do you get educated on how to be principled? How do you get educated on that? You either are or you aren't. You either are principled or you're not. For you to rip on guys like Rush Limbaugh or George W. Bush, as I stated in the last break about this whole, the cocaine and the painkiller situation with Rush Limbaugh, you can completely rip him apart. Oh, I don't listen to that Rush Limbaugh. Oh, drug using loser. Oh, you know that George W. Bush used to drink all the time and sniff cocaine. You know what I'm saying? He ain't nothing but the devil. And then Barack Obama comes out and says, hey, I smoke weed and sniff cocaine. Yeah, that's my dog. You know what I'm saying? That's my dog. I mean, come on. There's no principles whatsoever. So when I say that this isn't going to affect them, I can't even put this as a 1. I put this as a 0.1. As far as the effectiveness, as far as the black electorate, I don't see any one of them running out or refusing to go out and go support it. I just don't. And if black people think, they can argue it all day, but there's no way in the world any African-American who's out there, who's voting for Barack Obama, any one of them out there who are voting for Barack Obama, who have a clear sense of what the issues are, the state of this economy, the state of the world today, of, and when I say the world that they live in, the state of the world today, if they truly had principles, how could you reelect this guy? How?
Now, I agree with you to a degree. However, I find that people more my age, I like to call us coming of age 80s babies, I find that in talking to a lot of my friends of my peer group, a lot of them, believe it or not, they like Herman Cain.
I don't understand. You know, I spoke to Derek the Bounty Hunter plenty of times with Herman Cain. And everything they used to say about Barack Obama, I said, look at Herman Cain. Look at his background. It's exactly what many African Americans wish, you know, for a black person to achieve. But yet they just wouldn't support him. And only because he had the letter R by his name.
No, I don't think that. I'm much older African Americans. But I think that, like I said, my generation and hopefully the generation behind us will be a little more political savvy. We'll have a better understanding of the system and how things work. I know, like, my aunt, please, Barack could have been a quarter black. They would have voted for him.
As long as he had brown skin, though. But as long as he had brown skin.
Or he could have been a red bone.
If Barack Obama had a black mother and a white father, and he had favored his white father, think about this. He had favored his white father, and he was very light skinned. If he was the complexion of, what's that guy, Ford. I think his name, why do I always forget his first name? He used to be in Tennessee. Ah! And it's killing me now. He was going to run for New York's for the New York's Senate seat. Ah! I hate the fact that his name is escaping me. I want to say Harold Ford. I'm almost certain that's his name, Harold Ford. And I don't know why his name keeps escaping me. But he's a very light-skinned black guy. But I believe that if Barack Obama were lighter skin,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that it would be different. When they look at Barack Obama, they don't look at him as they don't look at him as a traditional African American. They can't. There's no way that they can. All they look at him as is as black.
No, but we're talking about the same people that pretty much accepted Bill Clinton as close to black as we can get.
There's a reason why that they, you know, I'll give you this. What really captured Bill Clinton, or what caused Bill Clinton to capture the black community? The biggest African-American late-night show of its kind, Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
For a presidential candidate to show up to the only black late night host show at the time.
And it was a juggernaut at the time.
Say again? Yes.
It was a juggernaut.
And it was. But it was a juggernaut not because it was beating Jay Leno or David Letterman at the time, but it was doing well. He was the number three show. It had never been done when it was a late night host. It was popular. A-list stars were coming on Arsenio. And here, a presidential candidate walks on, and not only does he walk on and hang out with Arsenio Hall, who is now the coolest black guy in the black community, having this late-night show, because he brings on rappers and everything. You know, rappers are on Arsenio Hall's show as a musical guest. No other late-night show was doing that. You had to be a huge crossover act to end up on Letterman or Leno. Arsenio was bringing hip-hop to the fold. As far as putting him on late night,
And at a time when
not only does
hip-hop,
he talk to Arsenio Hall to reach out to the black community, but then he gets on stage and he plays the saxophone.
Which is odd because black folks,
again,
you know,
that was all it took. You couldn't ask anybody what the platform of Bill Clinton was during that time. There's not anybody who can say that they knew it. You didn't know the platform of Bill Clinton. All they knew was, whoa, he smoked weed, but he didn't inhale. Oh, he had a lot of chicks on the side. I mean, what was it? And you can't
he had a lot.
And you can't say that people, you know, love Bill Clinton because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky. That happened in 1998. The man was elected in November of 92. I mean, it was completely insane. They found out that he liked McDonald's. You know, but, I mean, you remember that people when he said his favorite food was McDonald's? Black people went, oh, man, he liked McDonald's? McDonald's? I mean, like, what's it take to identify with the black community? McDonald's? Saxophone playing on Arsenio Hall? I mean, how am I supposed to look at the black voters as legitimate? How can I give them a smidgen of legitimacy if this is what it is that they stood for? Everything they gave Bill Clinton a credit for had nothing to do with him. He didn't fight terror. I mean, if George W. Bush is responsible for September 11th, 9 months into his presidency, how is it that Bill Clinton's not responsible for the World Trade Center bombing in 1993, a month into his presidency? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It drives me up the wall sometimes. That's why I can't give them any credibility. It's why I insult them as often as I can. It's why I have no respect for them. None. I have no respect for them as voters. None. Because if it was legitimate in any way whatsoever, they'd show it. And when I say they'd show it, they show it in how they voted. Some sort of value. Show some sort of value.
Well, mister, I'm sure they like you too, mister.
Well, look. Listen to what I'm saying, JC. I mean, when I say vote your values, look at the decision that they make. The decision that they make when they vote is vote D or don't vote. You know, you vote for President Obama, and every year leading up to the election of President Obama, you know, my vote don't count anyway. My vote don't count anyway. You know, your vote don't count. Your vote don't count anyway. After the 2000 election, I was talking to M. Kume from 98.7 KISS FM at a forum at the Jacob Javits Center. And I asked him, why isn't there more discussion about African Americans and why it is that they vote just Democrat? And M. Kume said to me at the forum on the microphone, well, first of all, you got to make sure that the black count is voted. That's what he said after the 2000 election, because he felt as though he was jilted when Al Gore lost to George W. Bush. Never, ever counted. And then Barack Obama wins, and now all of a sudden, I voted for him. And now what are they saying now that he's absolutely screwing up?
They're saying, you know what I'm saying, if they have voter ID laws, man, you know what that means. You know, they're just bringing it back to Jim Crow. You know your vote don't count, right? You know Barack Obama's just a puppet.
How am I supposed to give that? How am I supposed to, in any way whatsoever, to take these guys seriously? Black voters, how am I supposed to take them seriously? No respect for them when it comes to the vote. No respect for them when it comes to politics. Uninformed, ill-informed, completely backwards, and just flat-out stupid. Flat-out stupid. There may be a scattered few of you out there, but unfortunately you're outnumbered. You're outnumbered by a bunch of idiots. I hate to say it. It's disgusting. We'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be back.
carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah! Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back on top of the hour, 2 minutes after, on this Therapy Thursday. It is May the 10th, 2012. As I always promised, well, as I promised I'd like to do, and I want to start doing it a little more now, we're going to try to dedicate Thursday to some entertainment news. And while I grab this story... I gotta read this story to you. JC, are you covering any particular entertainment news stories that I should be interested in? Stuff that I should know, might know, want to know, don't care. Anybody in the news doing anything freaky? And don't mention the John Travolta thing, because I got a really, really revealing story about that.
Well, I'll let you roll with what you got first.
Okay, this is a great story. Okay. Because it's the rarest place that you'd find a story like this. So as we discussed yesterday, John Travolta is being accused by two men that while he was getting a massage from them, these are two masseurs, that John Travolta made sexual advances towards them on two separate occasions. Now, they've been referred to as John Doe number one and John Doe number two. John Travolta has shot back and says he has proof that he was in New York at the time and not in L.A. And that is in response to John Doe number one, the first accuser. And that is now being disputed, saying, oh, you know, he may have gotten the day wrong. It wasn't the 16th of January, as reported before. It may have been the day before. Okay, so now they're backtracking off that, and you know, but they're saying that they're two guys. They're separately saying it. The stories are very salacious, very, very disturbing stories. I think one report said that it reads like a very torrid fan fiction story. It's very sick. There was even one report that said that John Travolta not only tried to grab the masseur's genitalia, but then asked him to join in a three-way with a Hollywood starlet that has not been named. Well, this report is scary because, like I said, it's who this story's... How do I put this? Okay, here's what the title says. From FoxNews.com, it reads, John Doe number one in John Travolta's sex abuse lawsuit released his rambling statement, wishes Travolta good health and happiness. The anonymous plaintiff, known as John Doe number one, in the sexual assault suit against John Travolta, has released a bizarre rambling statement to the website RadarOnline.com. In it, the masseur, who alleges Travolta fondled him and offered sexual favors during a massage gone wrong earlier this year, actually wishes Travolta well and criticizes the media maelstrom that has resulted from the lawsuit. Here are some of the excerpts from the statement, which can be read in full on Radar Online if you're interested in looking at them. As the unidentified masseur in the John Travolta case, I have an opinion that I wanted to share. I don't think anyone should form an opinion about Mr. Travolta, his family, his counsel, myself, John Doe number two, or our counsel. Instead, I would urge everyone to understand that guilt or innocence in our justice system is decided by our court system. Too often, these matters are decided by swaying public opinion through elements that would never be considered in an actual court case. For instance, a photograph, a restaurant receipt, testimony, and other things that may or may not constitute proof have strict guidelines that must be followed. A fine example is the amazing number of guilty people that escape their crimes due to the mishandling of evidence. It is disappointing, of course, it is, but it is a price we must pay in order to have a justice system that runs in a constitutional manner. Despite the circus that celebrity matters seem to spiral into, we should grant all parties involved a wait-and-see attitude and wait for either the official decision of a judge and jury or the possibility of a dignified discussion between people who are not in the pit bulls, who are not pit bulls or aces or anything, but are actually officers of the court, lawyers, who have sworn an oath to protect the justice system from losing its blind lady of justice with scales and replacing her with the days of Salem witch hunts. Even though Mr. Travolta and his counsel are on opposite sides in this matter, I do wish them good health, happiness, and want them to be judged with absolute fairness as our great nation affords all citizens, regardless of their wealth or station. I have to applaud this guy. Now, I'm a little disappointed that FoxNews.com would say, rambling statement? It's not a rambling statement. He's pretty much putting the press on notice. No one in the press should decide on whether or not he's guilty or innocent. Yes, I'm the guy, and I'm the guy making the complaint against him. And I'm telling you, hold your horses. You don't get to destroy the guy based upon what you think or what it is that you believe. You don't get to make any decisions about me based upon evidence that you don't have. You don't get to do that. So I think that the effort to bash him is is making a rambling statement is, in fact, he's telling the truth. Look, of course I wish the guy well. You know? I didn't put his ass in jail. I didn't file a complaint with the police department. But hold your horses. I could be a complete bozo. I could be a lying piece of garbage. Don't start dragging his name through the mud. I could be a lunatic. I could be on Ritalin, you know, Percocet, whatever. I'm just trying to let you know, hold off on your opinions just yet. Let the justice system do it. Because I need this to go into court, and I need those people who hear this story, who might end up being the jury, I need them to hear a story as it is and as we lay it out without any preconceived notion. JC, anything weird or out of place with this guy? I don't see anything weird. He is the one making the complaint, and he's asking everybody, hey, back off. Reserve judgment.
Right. His attorney's a loudmouth. His attorney basically did a pro wrestling style shoot interview on TV.
Say again.
He was selling hella wolf tickets. His attorney says, and he said it with a real menacing voice. He says about Travolta's attorneys. He says, "You guys don't know me. I am a beast in a courtroom."
Really?
Yeah. I'm a beast in a courtroom. And we're not going to let the fact that about that this case is already being tried and thrown out in a court of public opinion. He says, all I say is wait and see when it's done.
Wow.
But please understand, I am a beast in the courtroom.
Well, I'll put it
to you. I like him.
You know, hey, look, if you're an attorney, you know, look, I say it all the time. It's a borrowed statement from one of my heroes. But you know what? No one ever won anything by defending it. You go on the attack. You don't win anything by defending it. You've got to go out there and you've got to go on the attack. That's what you do. That's what you have to do. So, I mean, I give, you know, John Doe's and John Doe number one and John Doe number two, I give them props. They're going on the attack. They're out there to tell them, hey, you know, we're coming after you.
Yeah.
You know, you better have your receipts in order. You know, it's sad that that's the life we live now. But, you know, I think in this electronic age, I think you need to make sure that you let everybody know where it is that you are at all times.
And he went so far as to say something with regards to you can Photoshop and produce all the manufactured receipts that you want.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't believe that for one bit about manufactured. It you could Photoshop it all day, but all I have to do is go to that restaurant, and you know which restaurant that was, right?
No.
That's Mr. Chow's.
Mr. Chow's.
That was Mr. Chow's downtown in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Did you see what the bill was?
No.
$383. Now, take a wild guess what John Travolta left in the tip.
How much?
It was a $383 bill at Mr. Chow's, which is, hey, come on, I'm not kidding. That's serious. But $383, what do you think the tip was? Take a wild guess. Mary, you too.
I'm going to go with $250.
Okay, JC, how much did you say?
$200.
Out of $383, you think he left a $200 tip? Mary says $50. He left $100. Is that 20%?
No.
It's kind of less than a third, right?
A little less than a third.
Yeah, a little less than
a
third.
Hell, he spent $383 at Mr. Chow's. I got some greedy-ass cousins that just spent $396 at Joe's Crab Shack in Manhattan.
But I'm pretty sure they ate and drank a whole lot more than John Travolta had for $383.
Yeah, he probably went in there and had crab cakes and left a couple crumbs on the plate.
Yeah,
I hate Manhattan higher-end restaurants. I really do.
Yeah, so do I. I can't stand them either because everybody is too cool for the room. This is the reason why I like dives. I like dives. I mean, I'll go for a dive bar any day. I want sawdust and peanut shells on the floor.
We're talking about Roadhouse.
Yeah, exactly. I want the jukebox to be an old beat-up jam. If the jukebox has got some, you know, if it's got some Johnny Cash and maybe some who's my girl? What's her name? She sings, she sings
Patsy
crazy.
Cline?
Patsy Cline. That's my girl. Yeah, I forgot her name. So Patsy Cline, maybe some Dolly Parton, but I only like one Dolly Parton song, and that's Jolene. I love that song.
Islands in the Stream.
Nah, I mean, that's okay.
That was hot.
It's hokey.
It was hot.
I like Jolene.
Okay, but listen, speaking of hokey.
Yes.
Bobby Brown is set to release his new album.
Stop it.
Masterpiece.
That's the name of the album.
Yeah. According to CNN.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask one simple question. Mm-hmm. Who's producing this garbage?
I'm not sure. They haven't said, but I mean, I guess they did a story with Billboard and it's set for release date of June 5th. That's less than a month away.
How many months?
June 5th.
June 5th.
Yeah.
That's really soon. That means he's recorded it already.
Oh yeah, he's done. He's on tour in Hawaii right now with his bandmates from New Edition. And according to CNN, he's about to marry his
His manager.
Alisa Etheridge.
Huh. Really?
Uh huh.
In and of itself, very frightening.
Yeah.
So he's got a new album out. Who talked him into that?
I like Brown. I've always liked Bobby Brown.
Here's my girl. Here she is.
Jolene.
Come back and please don't take my hand.
released from it yet?
Well, you got a taste of it last year with the songs "Damage" and "Get Out the Way."
I've never heard this stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard it. "Get Out of the Way." I kind of like it. It's something Maurice Starr would have produced.
Maurice Starr, General.
Yeah, the General.
I
wonder what he's up to these days.
The General?
Yeah.
I met him once.
Michael Jackson totally ripped his outfits.
Did he? Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, he did.
The General. I cannot believe that. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, you've heard some of the songs?
Yeah, I heard Get Out the Way, yeah.
Get Out the Way?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Here's a little Bobby Brown Reach Retro.
Ah, yeah. Stop saying, this is where the time I'm from. This one I'm all choked up. Can't believe it's all my home. As a matter of fact, over mine, you would even talk to me. Real life fantasy.
All right, don't let me get nuts. He was great then.
That album was like one of the greatest of all time. That's my favorite second album. That's my second favorite album after Keith Sweat's Make It Last Forever.
Well, you know what it was that was great about him, and a lot of people fail to give him credit for this? Bobby Brown... And you can say this about a lot of other groups that came before Bobby Brown, but I believe this personally. If there was anybody who was the genesis of the Chris Brown, Usher, Tracy...
Oh, without question.
Bobby Brown was that guy. You wouldn't have...
All of New Edition was...
Well, no, New Edition, to me, was the original boy band. They didn't play any instruments and they sang. You know what I mean? You wouldn't have a New Kids on the Block if you didn't have, New Edition. You know what I mean? They were the first boy band. They rarely get credit as being the first boy band, with the exception, everybody said that the Beatles are the boy band, but they played instruments. But the boy band era of singers who didn't play instruments of the boy band kind, New Edition was that. I don't think there were any groups out there who really did that, unless you count the Osmonds, but some of them played instruments as well. So that's the reason why I still give it to New Edition. But Bobby Brown... If you're talking about the hip-hop R&B appeal that Chris Brown, Usher, and Trey Songz have, you got to give it to Bobby. Bobby started that.
They were like guys that started out at that time didn't last, like Johnny Kemp. One single just got paid.
Well, Johnny Kemp was too old. That was Johnny Kemp's problem. Johnny Kemp was talking about just got paid. I mean,
it was a monster jam, though.
Oh, it was. I mean, think about it. When that song Johnny Kemp came out, you know who loved it? My mother. You know what I mean? So how could he appeal to me when mom likes him? You know? I can't really say that, Bobby Brown was our about.
Right.
But Johnny Kemp was, for crying out loud, he was too old.
Sounded old.
Feel good.
It was the beat that did this song right.
Yes, it did. It was great. I mean, you have to give him credit. It was a great song. It was an all right song.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Timmy Gatlin came out at the same time, too.
Really?
Timmy Gatlin came out at the same time, and he couldn't find himself a New Jack hit. And he much like Teddy Riley, Timmy Gatlin and Gene Griffin, they were the creators of New Jack.
Taking
all the credit.
Produced by this song wasn't produced by what do you call it?
It was produced by Teddy Riley.
Was produced by Teddy Riley.
Yeah.
It's one of the early ones.
Yeah. That came out after I Wanna, Keith Sweat.
Yeah.
Which was a monster jam. That album. The whole album is hot.
That was interesting. That was an interesting era in music. Yeah, okay, I gotta do one more. But this one I'm going in the left field. Okay? So bear with me. I'm going to the left field here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get this up. Oh, come on. Don't do this to me now. Okay, hold on. I'm going to do this now. All right, here we go.
Hey! Enter.
You know, considering today's topic, this is a perfect song.
Not a word from your lips. The simple breath that I want to skin it in. A quick hit. That's your game. But I'm not a piece of me. And you let my brain. Not a job. So are we. Let's get to know each other better. So it's easily. Take my hand. Let's hit the floor. Take your body to the music. Maybe then you soar. So come on, baby.
Come back. It's Reese on the Radio. We got to talk about the New York Times cover, okay? I'll stick around.
Yep.
On the radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right, it's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back 31 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. May the 10th, 2012. Where was I going?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I don't know why I said May the 5th. Anyway.
I said marijuana is illegal in Connecticut. Where are you getting it from?
I have no idea. Anyway, okay, so I don't know if anybody's seen the new Time magazine cover.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, how desperate do you have to be to get subscriptions or to get people to buy your magazine? How desperate do you have to be? For those of you who haven't seen it, and I doubt it, in this day and age, Are You Mom Enough is the cover of the new of the new Time magazine.
Mother's Day issue?
The Mother's Day issue, apparently. Are You Mom Enough, which of course is nothing more than an article bashing mothers. You're not good enough. You're not spending enough time with your kids. First you complain that women aren't making enough money. You don't make as much money as men. And then it's found out that you're not working as long as men, and now you got a New York Times article telling you you're not mom enough because you don't spend enough time with your kids. They even go so far in the article to say that you should be spending more time with your kid in your bed. And what do you do on the cover? You put a 3-year-old kid on a stool.
A 4.
No, he's 3.
Is he?
Yeah, he's 3. Sucking his mother's nipple on the cover. Mom looks like she's in a Jordache jeans commercial. Little kid looks straight out of Baby Gap. And this is not a form of pornography. This is
Taboo,
okay.
2012.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's Taboo 2012. I mean, how provocative. It's Time Magazine. You're not known for being provocative. Leave that to Penthouse Magazine or Hustler, whichever one Larry Flint owns today. Hustler. Leave that to him. No one's interested in seeing this. This is over the top.
What?
And people, the part that makes me laugh is that the headline reads, Time Cover Sparks Debate. And what do they think the debate is? How long you should breastfeed your child. No, debate is whether or not you should put the photo on the cover of Time magazine. And the scary part is that they've got the little boy looking into the camera. May I reenact the photo shoot? It would sound a little something like this. Okay, Mom, all right. Stick out the breast. Oh, that's good. Okay. Timmy, all right, there you go. Go.
Hold
get
on,
lunch.
Makeup.
Go get lunch, son. That's all right. Okay, look this way. That's right. Think it. Be in the moment. Get mommy. Come on. Who convinced this family?
Listen, you're going to be on the cover of Time magazine. This is going to be epic.
This is a... And the boy... And I don't... Look. I don't know how tall this mother is. If you look
yes,
at
she's
picture,
tall. She's got to be.
She's not tall. The boy,
he's on a chair.
They only put him on a chair so he can reach the nipple. But for crying out loud, I mean, he doesn't look small. I mean, he's in a pair of camouflage jeans and a flannel.
More like an Abercrombie and Fitch midget.
Yeah, and he's got a little pouty stomach like he's getting full at the moment. What is this?
I wonder if the nipple's got his own makeup artist.
Of course it did. This is just sick and wrong.
Yeah, it's sick.
It says, why attachment parenting drives some mothers to extremes and how Dr. Bill Sears became their guru. And I mean, okay, fine. This is, if you want to make that point. But you don't put this on the cover. This, how does this become okay? Which I'm baffled by. But you know, it's Time Magazine, they're desperate. They're desperate for readers. But now that the picture's online, do you really need to get the article?
What do you do? Open a page, and she's in there with her legs wide open, showing
please
the baby.
Don't say that. I don't even want to see. I don't even want the visual in my mind.
I'm going to get really graphic.
No, I'm not. For me, you know how I am. I'm squeamish. You don't have to get that graphic in order for me to picture it in my mind and be completely destroyed. I'm completely mentally, that's it, I'm done. I just can't deal with it. Hey, speaking of celebrity news, you know what's going on in Hollywood tonight, right?
American Idol?
Oh, come on. It's one of the biggest Hollywood events happening this year.
What's going on this year?
Obama, Clooney. Today, whoever the raffle winner is, they get to hang out with George Clooney and the president tonight. At Clooney's house.
I'd go just for Stacey Keibler.
I don't think they're dating anymore.
I still want to know where she showered. Where she sat.
You're really, and you know, a lot of guys like her. I mean, she's pretty, don't get me wrong. Legs never stop.
Dude, you know who she dated before she dated Clooney?
Please tell me it was somebody like who's like grotesque or somebody completely out of like possibility, out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, really, yes.
Tell
she,
me.
She dated David Flair.
Ric Flair?
Ric Flair's son, David.
Oh, I don't know. I only know Ric Flair, so I wouldn't know.
You got to see this kid. I mean, how in the hell did he land that?
Is he just not? I mean, is he a typical looking kid, or is he a weird kid? Does he look like his dad?
He looks nothing like his dad. He's got red hair, pimply face, pizza face. Like every kid they call pizza face from the 80s movies,
right?
Was him.
Well, you know what? Maybe she's one of those people who just like awkward guys. You know, maybe she doesn't. You know, she can go either way. She can have a George Clooney, who's sort of Hollywood handsome, and she can go for, you know, an Urkel type. Anyway, so listen to the name of the people who were coming to this $40,000 per person event. You got Barbara Streisand, Selma Hayek, Tobey Maguire, Jack Black. I don't know who else is coming. Dave Matthews, they say, is going to be there. I guess they have the winners. Organizers say the star-studded gala may gross as much as $15 million overall as a result of the flood of interest from supporters who gave an average of $23 each to enter the online sweepstakes for the last-minute invitation to the dinner. A source close to the event told Reuters the winners were Beth Topinka, a science teacher from New Jersey, and Karen Blutcher, who works at a public utility company in Florida. Both women were to bring their husbands as guests to the dinner. So luckily, two common folks. They got to go to the dinner. They got to see Babs. I bet you they hate Barbara Streisand when it's over. Because I hate
them.
Everybody hates this woman after they meet her. Everybody.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know why.
Because she's a real pompous, arrogant piece of garbage. That's right. I said it. Babs is garbage. Did you hear what she did to Oprah?
What she did to Oprah?
This is my favorite Barbara Streisand story. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, Thursday Therapy Thursday, we rag on celebrities on Thursday. Aside from other news. But let me tell you this story. I don't know if you've heard this. This is a great story about Barbara Streisand, Babs. So she did this one-of-a-kind interview on Oprah Winfrey. If you look online, you can see this for yourself. Oprah Winfrey, in every interview she's ever done, Oprah Winfrey sits on one side of the stage. That's it. Okay? All of her interviews,
And except for her recent ones, she's done some later ones where she's been on the right side. But it's usually the guest is on one side, Oprah's on the other. Well, what happens is that Barbra Streisand's coming, and Barbara's got a crap load of demands. And Barbra Streisand's biggest demand that everybody knows is that Barbra Streisand does not want to be photographed ever from her bad side, which is her left side, according to reports. Now, I've heard this many moons ago. I heard this when I was a kid.
Dude.
She refused to be photographed on her right side, on her left side.
Is this broad kidding? You can photograph her from the moon, you're still going to get that snobs.
It doesn't matter because she believes that that's her best profile. So hold on. So not only does she make Oprah in her own studio, in her own show, sit on the other side, but she had this white theme. Now, I found out this later on a comedy show that Kathy Griffin did, when Kathy Griffin finally got invited to the Oprah show, and Kathy Griffin says that she couldn't wait to ask Oprah about the Barbra Streisand interview. And she wanted to know what she thought about it. And when she first brought it up, it turns out Oprah Winfrey said, "Can you believe that girl painted my microphone white?" And that's what she did. She came there to perform a song, I guess on this classics album she was doing or whatever. And it was this entire white theme. And she had one of Oprah's microphones painted white for the performance. And Oprah was pissed. So, I mean, come on. This is Oprah Winfrey. This is a woman who's rarely got a bad thing to say about anybody. And even old Babs pissed her off.
Well, Oprah's forever trying to one-up somebody anyway. To hell with her.
I don't like this. I don't like her. Never have, never will. I heard Mariah Carey does this as well. She's got an issue with being photographed from either side. And this is a personal story. Back in my Power 105 days, she was on our show. She came in. And that was the classic, you know, argument that she and I got into because I said I liked her back in the days when she couldn't do the Running Man. She was sitting to the left of me, and we had a cameraman there filming the interview. And, of course, she was being photographed from her right-hand side, and she didn't want the camera to go on the other side to film her. Because she, as well, does not like to be photographed from her non-photogenic angle. So I heard she makes a beef about this as well.
I hear she's a ridiculous writer as well. A lot of these stars do.
Yes. Of course they do because they can. That's what it's all about. They can.
And speaking of, Mary J. Blige.
Well,
her writer.
What does she demand? What does she do? I mean, I know some people go out of hand, but please tell me she likes, chicken fingers.
Fried chicken.
She does?
Yes.
That's just awful. That's just awful. And they wouldn't let her do that Burger King commercial? No.
That's terrible.
They wouldn't let that woman do a Burger King commercial.
Oh, they don't want to put Burger King with Jack and a Beat.
It doesn't matter whether or not they were Jack and a Beat. They should have let her do that damn commercial. What is wrong with them? It's got to be kidding me. I want to hear that damn song again. I was just trying to see if I could find it. Anyway, let's take a break. I got one last story, actually, I'd like to share with DJC. If you don't know about it, but stick around. I'll play it for you. When we get back.
Hey.
To do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb,
it's not because they have breasts,
It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC. I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the MILF. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb cunts, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads, Mar decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back. 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Now, I don't know whether or not anybody heard this, or even anybody even knows that it was there. But I just want to let everybody know that the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party, is dead. It's over. It's a wrap. I don't know what it is that they're doing over on their show on Blog Talk Radio, or why they're even bothering. But I want to play this new I want to play this new audio that I found. This was I believe that this was on May the 7th, just 3 days ago. So, listen to you.
I cannot believe, like, this story is so far beyond them. It's like they're, you know, it's like a one-trick pony. This is, according to the story, this is Sean Qualley and the Black Panther chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, talking about, of all things, George Zimmerman. They said they wanted justice, right? Everybody said that, right? They wanted justice. The guy got arrested. He made bail. They said they wanted justice. But they're still on it. Listen to what they're talking about now.
A revolutionary with a liberating message. You're a savior with a message of salvation. We're not paper boys. We're not paper girls. We're revolutionaries with a life-saving message to help our people. And so, black man, you're just reconfirming it. And I know it's hot in Florida. I know it's hot in Florida. We want to get, man, I can't wait till the next paper. I might just put George Zimmerman's face on the front cover with a noose around it saying this is what he deserves if found guilty. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. I take a pause for the conversation.
Hey, just found guilty for all of
yes,
the, all of,
yes,
all of the, whoever spies on the telephone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
That would be a hell of a cover, though, wouldn't it? Just Zimmerman's head with a noose around it. New Black Panther. That would, I think that would sell fast.
You had to talk off the air. I mean, let me get the next caller.
No, if I may. There hasn't been a George Zimmerman story in how long, Mary? 2 weeks?
Yep.
Maybe three?
Maybe.
Maybe three?
Probably four.
This is all you got? You talking about putting a picture with a noose around his neck? That's where you are today? And then he got the nerve to say, we might have spies on the phone. You're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, you moron. Spies on the phone. You sound like a lunatic. Might be some spies. Stupid. When you're doing a radio show, you're hoping that you have listeners. What are you, wishing you don't get a spy?
Well, I don't want the spies to catch us. Well, let's put it on a free network called Blog Talk Radio and speak privately about how we want to put a noose around a picture of George Zimmerman. But be careful, there may be spies.
This is why I laugh at you. So, Qualley, what is wrong with your people?
I can't believe that you just wasted three valuable minutes of my life that I will not be able to get back.
But
I could have smoked 12 cigarettes in that time.
I just, listen, what I had to do was I had to express how ridiculous these people are. I just, what else could I possibly do?
The
I
name
had to do
does it for them, the new Black Panther Party movement.
Yes, but I just had to expose the idiocy. I mean, I couldn't help it.
For a group that's so rich in tradition, you couldn't keep the name?
You had
to become the new?
I understand that even radicals like H. Rat Brown don't even consider them a legitimate version of the party. If he does, I'd be stunned. But come on. You know, they are not.
They,
I mean,
sound like a street gang that harass you just over the phone.
Phone thug radicals.
Say something dirty on your Facebook page, then unfriend you. Are you kidding me? And then apologize for it later and cry.
Say something dirty on your Facebook page and then unfriend you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just awful. I don't know. I can't. I had to play it for me. It was just funny. I just had to play it.
Getting back to our earlier theme of the night.
Yes.
You played...
In the Navy?
No, no. Let's see. What was the other one?
Oh, you don't. We don't have to take our clothes off.
Yeah. I don't think that one was as appropriate as the one that I found.
Please,
I'll give you 30 seconds of it, okay?
Please, go ahead. Now, the only reason why I remember it is because that boom bap beat from The Word Is Out, that was tough. The rest of that song is garbage, but the chorus on that song is great. That was from the old.
Do you remember who sang it?
The voice sounds familiar, and I'm going to take a wild guess and going to say one of the DeBarge brothers.
No, you're so far off.
Oh,
I'm
really?
So close, it's unreal.
I'm so far off, but I'm so close, it's unreal?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a DeBarge.
No.
Well, he was one of those light-skinned Jerry Curl wearing guys.
Not even.
Really?
No. I'll give you the title of his second hit.
Is it Junior?
No.
Ah, okay. Who is it?
His second hit was We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off.
Oh, that was Jermaine Stewart, too?
Yeah.
That's really?
Jermaine Stewart, yeah.
I only remember two songs from him. I didn't realize that was one of his. What was the other song that I remember from Jermaine Stewart?
I don't remember anymore.
No. He had another one. It's We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off. The Word Is Out. He had one more song that was popular.
Jody.
That's one.
Jody Watley.
Jody.
He was paying homage to Jody Watley.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah. I think he wanted to be the female member of Charlamagne.
Of course he did. Probably wanted to get close to Howard Hewitt.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a close-out bumper.
Go for it. Wait. Okay, hold on.
You caught that, huh? I didn't look for it.
Listen to me. That is a perfect closeout song. Absolutely. For Mary Mary, Why You Bugging, for JC the producer, start playing it now. I'm reading the radio, we'll see you tomorrow. I love this song.